Well, thank you again for being back tonight. We want to jump into the scripture again. It's been a challenge, but a joy to watch God open up the scriptures this week. And so I hope it comes across that way to you. We're going to start, if you want to open up to Luke chapter 7. We're going to go to several different passages tonight, but we'll start off there. If you need a title, it's a perpetual memorial. A perpetual memorial. Something that lasts on and on. All right, the message tonight, we're going to start off reading one account of something that happened during the days when Jesus walked this earth. We are going to look at a similar account and actually three different accounts that occurred. I want to do a little bit of, it's going to be a little bit of Bible study. Why? Because this is one of those areas that if you were to go online and ask a question about it, you're going to find that scholars somehow have the need to say that stories blend together and it's just different accounts. Whereas the Bible, if you read it, shows that no, it can't be the same because the time's not the same and the people aren't the same and the places aren't the same. Right. And so the Bible is very clear. But this is just one of those stories that you'll often hear misrepresented. So I want to make sure we get that straight. But then look at some of the truths and some of the beauty of what God intended for us to understand by that. And I think one of those was this under the blood and that forgiveness of sins. And so we'll get to that in just a moment. But let's go ahead and read in Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him, referring to Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint. That's strike three, by the way. But this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Let's pray. Dear Lord, once again, we just commit the time to you. We commit the preaching of the word, Lord, that you would use my mouth to share the things that each person needs to hear. Lord, you've shown me a lot of things, and I thank you for that. And I just pray I'd share the right things at the right time in a manner in which people would understand and benefit from it. Lord, we just commit this time to you, and thank you, and look forward to all you're going to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me just point out a few just facts, just so that when we look at another episode, you'll obviously be able to see the obvious differences. First of all, where were they at? They were at a Pharisee's house, whom we find out his name is Simon. All right, so he's at Simon the Pharisee's house. It does not tell us the location. We have been going about Galilee, going about various places, and just been through Nain. And then after this, it says that he continues to go widely. So it doesn't specifically tell us where he's at for this account. But he was at a Pharisee's house named Simon. So this the woman who came in, apparently she was known. She was identified as a sinner. Anybody able to identify with this lady? Yeah. Okay, so we're all sinners. Apparently she had a reputation. The Pharisee knew who she was. Apparently she was known to others. She was a sinner. And so I just, God obviously chose not to tell us what it was, but you stop and say, okay, well, what kind of sinner was she? Well, we could make all kind of assumptions, though we don't know, but maybe she was the town gossiper. And you go, why'd you pick gossip? Well, what did you think of? There could be a number of things, right? Is gossip not terribly wicked? In God's eyes, it is. Well, maybe she was the backbiter of the town. Maybe she was a thief. Maybe she was known for running through the market and snagging things from the merchants. I don't know. I don't know what she did. And yes, maybe she was a woman of ill repute. Maybe she had a reputation in that manner as well. She could have done any number of things. But the point is, she had broken God's law, and she'd come to some point. I can only assume that she had already heard Jesus' teaching. Otherwise, why would she have performed this act? I think she had had some prior engagement there. She'd probably heard his teaching, and I think she had great conviction of sin. I think that's obvious from the story. And when she came, she did all she knew to do. I don't know why she chose to do it that way. We do know that washing feet in that time was certainly something that was a common courtesy for any host, you know, anyone coming in, and Jesus rebuked the host for threefold errors on his part. He had no water to wash his feet, didn't give him a customary greeting, a kiss, and he didn't anoint his head with oil. And so, really kind of a poor host. You kind of get the picture that maybe the guy had some ulterior motives for why he invited Jesus in. And we know already from reading all the scriptures that the Pharisees weren't exactly his fan club. And so they did want to have him around, partly because they want to catch him in something and expose him. Or some of them were curious, you know, what's going on here? And of course, it made them look perhaps maybe important because they got this guy who was becoming a rabbi, you know, walking around teaching and everything. Well, you know, it's kind of a public figure, so he came to my house. And so other people were around there as well. So you see the picture here. The point is that she came for one reason, and I think he had her there for a very different reason. She came and gave a display of total humility, of a repentant heart. And the reason it's clear that that's the case is Jesus' response. Jesus' response is, thy sins are forgiven. Ha! Thy sins are forgiven. They're under the blood. Now, he had not died on the tree yet, but the truth was still there. He was still the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the promised Messiah. He was the anointed one, the Christ who was to come. And so already now, her sins are forgiven under the blood that was going to be shed. This was probably in his first year, you know, of the roughly 3-year ministry. This was in the context and everything. It looks very clear that this was probably in his first year. And here she is. She's already seen it. She sees who he is. We don't know who this is. We don't have a name. But we see that her sins were forgiven and her faith hath saved thee. Or it says, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Do you remember the joy? I mean, the burden that was lifted at Calvary when you came to the cross and you received Christ? There's a great burden that's lifted. She experienced that. That was her moment. That was her time. This morning we talked a lot about repentance, and that repentance is that changing of that inward attitude towards sin so that now you're despise sin and now you're going to pursue after God. Whatever her list of many sins, take your pick. We all had those list of sins, did we not, before we came to Christ? And then so now we're saved, forgiven, and so her faith is what saved her. Washing of the feet and wiping them with her hair, spending this money to have this ointment, all that stuff, that's not what saved her. That was an outward display of that repentant heart. And that repentance led to a faith, a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then that picture is her crying out, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. That's essentially what she did. I mean, she came at his feet. How much more can you call upon the name of the Lord than come and fall at his feet? beautiful picture. Very, very beautiful picture. And I think Under the Blood just set us up for that very well. All right, so we will refer back to this in just a little bit. Let's go over to John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, we're somewhere 2+ years later, depending on what the timing was on the first one. But here, we're going to start off in verse 1 of John chapter 12 and read a brief section. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover. Now, the very first words make it very obvious that this was not the same time as the previous one, right? Okay, so that clears that up. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And I'm sorry, the Passover happened every year, so this was, in the context, this is already the Passover that he's going to die on the cross. All right, so we're at the end of his ministry, 6 days before the cross. And Lazarus has already been raised from the dead in the chapter before. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. So we'll stop there. All right, so here the woman has a name. This is Mary. Mary who? Mary, the sister of Martha, the sister of Lazarus, who lives in Bethany. We see them in other places in Scripture as well. We saw them in the chapter before, and we see them over in Luke. And so we know exactly who this is. And interesting that she is doing something very, very similar to what happened back over 2 years ago. Was it the same woman? Possibly. This time, however, we don't see anything about forgiving of sins. We don't see anything about a repentant heart. What you see here is a picture of adoration. I mean, she's worshiping Jesus. She's at his feet, washing his feet with her hair. Why? I don't know. But there was a love that, quite frankly, most of us perhaps don't share quite the same. You know, love can be displayed in different ways. She was very open with it. This was at least semi-public place. I mean, there was a dinner. I don't know how many people were there. People did come. They were not just the small group. There were others there. They came because they wanted to see Lazarus, who had been risen from the dead, and they came to want to see Jesus. All of them were not their friends. They were there for various reasons. And some of the rulers are still seeking to kill both Lazarus and Jesus. Which, on a side note, I've always found this tremendously absurd that they sought to kill Lazarus, the man who had just been raised from the dead. I thought, and Jesus couldn't bring him back again? I don't know. I'm not sure what they were thinking. Anyway, so we have this other example. Now, why did Jesus say she did it? It was for his burial. She was anointing him for his burial. This was 6 days before. And here, how did she know? Well, number one, Jesus did talk about the coming crucifixion. He did talk about this. You know, we have multiple examples of him saying what's going to happen. Mary seems to be one that just had a very tender heart, and she loved much. We see in Luke 10, this is the picture when, again, he was at Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house, and Martha was busy serving. And what was Mary doing? She was sitting at Jesus' feet, sitting there listening, soaking it up, listening to her Lord. She had a tremendous adoration for the Lord. And at that point, he made it very clear, she's chosen the good thing. And so it's even though we would say, oh, she needs to get up and be helping Martha. Well, Jesus essentially rebuked and said, no, We're not going to take that from her. So this is that same Mary who now is anointing Jesus' feet and washing it with her hair. As I tried to process this, most of you probably can't really imagine, I guess. I know I certainly can't with my hair, but it would be more like a scrub brush. But that thought that you're spreading some sort of ointment. I don't know what it was, but it was a perfume type ointment, very precious and costly. And literally, she's got her hair and just wiping his feet. The first time with her tears, washing them, and then now just wiping this ointment. It seems kind of odd. It certainly doesn't fit in our day and age. It would certainly be odd if we saw it happening. I think it was still odd for them too. I don't think this was a normal occasion. But I think Jesus saw it for what it was. So I know he did, and he didn't rebuke her at all. Interesting. Okay, so let's go to Matthew 26. In Matthew 26, we are starting in verse 6. Now, by the way, in John 12, it doesn't tell us that he was at Martha and Mary and Lazarus' house, but it certainly gives that impression, does it not? I mean, I don't see any reason why we would think otherwise. It's the fact that they were doing the serving and that we had seen other examples of him being at their home, then it only seems that that's the case, and there's no mention of another host or anything like that. So I think they were probably at their house. Now, in chapter 26 of Matthew, and it came to pass, we do need to start at the verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after, how many? 2 days is the feast of the Passover. And the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. So now this is only 2 days before the Passover. 4 days after the account we just read. This is a different account. So it's 4 days later. And so let's drop down to verse 6. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany, so he was still in Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper. Simon the leper. So that guy back in the first part of his ministry, name was Simon. He was a Pharisee. He was never called a leper. This guy is called Simon the leper, but he's not called a Pharisee. You know, otherwise, we don't know who he is. So Simon the leper, I can only assume that he was a leper that had been healed. Otherwise, he probably would not have been hosting a meal for all these people. So I think there's some reasonable thinking that we have to do here. So Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. Oh, so now this ointment is being poured on his head. All right. It's still that ointment. Well, that's what this ointment came in, these alabaster boxes. And alabaster, it's a white, creamy look. You know, even in a song, we talk about the alabaster cities, talking about the gleam and the look of the things, the kind of the white stone type look. And so that's the type of boxes that came in. And so it's poured, this ointment is poured on his head. Verse 8, but when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? This is only 4 days after they were rebuked for saying this before, and yet they say it again. 9, for this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Oh, how much they love the poor, huh? I don't think so. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. So once again, you have to see this picture here. Here's now two different women. The assumption is it's two different ones. Maybe this is Mary again, but it does not tell us it's Mary. So here's this woman, and Mary knew the same thing. Jesus said it was for his burial. Meanwhile, as we read other scriptures, his disciples seem to have not gotten the picture yet. How many things did they do that they didn't quite grasp that he really was about to die? Okay? So I just find it interesting how God points out that, oh, look here. Here's a few women that they got it. They understood. All right, so verse 13. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. We are fulfilling the scripture tonight. We are bringing this up at the same place that we are sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said that this would be done wheresoever the gospel is preached throughout the whole world. I can't think of another scenario where he made such a proclamation. I just think that's pretty fascinating that he mentions that and he brings this out for our observation. So, thus the title, A Perpetual Memorial throughout history. And you say, wow, so what was so special about this event? What was so significant that Jesus would say that this is going to be a memorial of her throughout time, everywhere the gospel is preached? We'll look at that in just a moment, maybe have a few ideas. So just to making it clear then, so now we have an event that's happening 2 days before. So just as a reference, go over to Mark chapter 14. Now the events in Matthew 26 and Mark 14 are clearly the same event. They are relaying the same incident. All the details are the same. The timing is the same. The location is the same. And with minor changes of some of the wording, this is clearly the same event. So it starts off Mark 14. After 2 days was the Feast of the Passover, so the same time frame. Verse 3, and being in Bethany, the same place. The house of Simon the leper, same place. A woman have an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. She break the box and poured it on his head, same event. And there were some that were indignant within themselves, same thing. And why was this waste? Could have been sold for 300 pence. So here it gives us the quantity, in case you care how much the ointment was worth. It was told us what it was, so 300 pence worth. And again, they murmured against her. So here they introduce that word, they murmured. And we know what God thinks about murmuring. The children of Israel spent 40 years in the desert because of their murmuring. We don't want to be murmurers. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work, for ye have always the poor with you. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. And here's where we get a very familiar phrase. She had done what she could. She had done what she could. She has come afore to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. So it's the same event. We just get some little bit different wording. And that is a neat phrase. She had done what she could. Whole message has been preached just on this phrase. A challenge for us is, have we done what we could? Have we fulfilled what God's given us the grace to do? Do we use our talents? Do we use our resources that He's given us? Do we use the things that God's given us to do what we could, to serve Him in whatever way it is we're supposed to do? Again, Nathan's reference to Nathan's message on Wednesday night, you know, that the body coming together with all the different gifts, all the joints compacted together, coming together and performing the work that the body is supposed to perform. Have we done what we could? And when we do, then we can sleep in peace, knowing we did what we could. I can only assume, doesn't tell us, but that this woman went out and she was at peace. And she had been commended by the Lord that she had done what she could. And God did not rebuke her for that. He didn't say it was a waste. Instead, He said, she's doing the right thing. Indicating perhaps the others were missing it. And maybe they should have been doing something different. Very possible. I think that's something that we have to watch and make sure that we're doing what we should and what we can. Okay. So, this is a look at the three different events. So that's a little bit of the Bible study with a few truths thrown in there. I would, just one other note, just at the end of the passage in Mark here, the very next thing that comes up, and Judas, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray him. When they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money, and sought how he might conveniently betray him. So here's the man who sat there watching this event, this ointment, precious ointment, saying, oh, it could have been sold for 300 pounds. We could have We could have given it to the poor. Well, in the book of John, as the story we read, we know he didn't care about the poor. Instead, he cared about himself, and he wanted the money for himself. And now, here he is, going out. He learned nothing from this event. He learned nothing from the rebuke of Christ, and went out and betrayed Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Okay, that's just a side note there. The point is, when Jesus points something out to us, and when Jesus rebukes us for something, we ought to take note and turn our ways, repent of our sin, and turn away. Judas did not repent of his sin. So, we have the events and a couple of observations then. One, again, I feel there's a good reason to think that woman, that first woman who came to him, who was a known sinner, who repented of her sin, who came to Christ, who was saved at that event, I think there's good reason to believe that very possibly was Mary, and perhaps that's how he got to know that family, you know, as she got saved. Obviously, Lazarus and Martha also believed, as they were followers as well. And so, very likely it was Mary. If it was, then there are a couple of other instances, one that we've seen already, that on the 6 days before the Passover, she came and anointed his feet again, all right, at the feet of Jesus. We talked about in Luke 10 when Martha was busy serving, and where was Mary? At Jesus' feet again. And it shows a place of humility, a place of adoration. You know, when you come before a king, you know, what did the people do? You bow down, and you bow down at their feet, you know, someone who is greater and mightier. And so when you fall at the feet of Jesus, that's significant. Well, just glance real quickly at John 11. John 11 is the passage where Lazarus has died and Jesus comes. And, of course, they're both Martha and Mary say the comment that if you'd been here, Lord, he wouldn't have died. If you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. And so they were grieving greatly for their brother. And I think they were also confused about why didn't Jesus come. You ever find yourself in that spot? Lord, I have a major, big problem. I don't understand why you haven't solved it yet. I think we can relate to some degree here. There's some grieving families right now that we've been praying for, and they're wondering, why, Lord, why? And he doesn't always tell us. Here, they got their answer. But the point is, we're looking at Mary, and in verse 32. So Martha's already spoken to Jesus. She goes and says, Mary, the Master's here and he's calling for you. So she goes out to him and says, Master, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. And then in verse 32, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. There's no mention of Martha being at his feet. She's talking to him, but there's no mention of her falling at his feet. But here's Mary, once again, falling at his feet. It's like every time you see Mary with Jesus, she's falling at his feet. She just had a heart for the Lord that perhaps a lot of us don't see. She worshiped Christ. She truly worshiped him with all that she had. I don't know what their wealth was. You don't gather they were a poor family. But still, she had a precious ointment. Money was spent on this. Her reputation, I mean, I can only imagine it wasn't typical for ladies to go around and wipe men's feet with their hair. You know, that wasn't the norm. But here, this was an act of worship, as an act of adoration. It was a very misunderstood act. You know, people didn't know what she was doing. They were accusing her of wasting money. Initially, you know, in that first episode, accusing her of being a sinner, and you shouldn't be even touching Jesus, you shouldn't be anywhere close to him, and so it was very misunderstood. But apparently, she had a heart to hear from the Lord, and she responded and did the right thing. Well, what is that, and then also that picture of humility, just tremendous humility. And what do we know about humility? Well, the humble are going to be exalted. If we humble ourselves, then we'll be exalted. If we exalt ourselves, we'll be humbled. And it's much, much better to humble ourselves than have the Lord humble us. It's not a pleasant feeling. So here she was. She understood all of that, and she was blessed for that. And then we just see the Lord honoring that. So anyway, I think that's an interesting picture of Mary herself. And then this other woman in Matthew 26 and Mark 14, perhaps it could have been Mary again. I don't know. She may have just come back again and anointed his head. It doesn't say, and it's a different scenario. So I don't have a problem with it being somebody else either. It doesn't tell us specifically. But that woman was the one that God said, that the Lord Jesus said that she would be a perpetual memorial. So as we look at this, we see, you know, that connection with who was Jesus. Jesus is the Christ being the anointed one, right? The anointed one of the Father. And here it was, he was already proclaiming his death, burial, and resurrection, and this was a picture that we're given of that. So I don't have a lot else to say about it, except that there's that picture of forgiveness, which we all need. Anyone who comes to Christ must come and have sins forgiven. Those of us who already believe, we too need sins forgiven, and praise God for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so even after being saved, and even though we don't have the Lord Jesus physically here with us, can we not continue to fall at his feet and worship him? Can our hearts not be humbled and come before him? Sometimes it's a physical position that just will humble our hearts so that we're more sincere in being before him. And then he also teaches us about serving other people to serve him. And so sometimes perhaps he's calling us to humble ourselves and serve one another. That's a picture that we have to remember as well. We are to serve one another. That we're a part of the body, and the body takes care of itself. Okay, so let's say I've been out working, and boy, this arm is just really, really sore. What do? I anoint it with something. You know, I put something on it to take care of it. You know, if it's injured, I'll bandage it. You know, one member takes care of the other member that it has is hurting. The Adams family, I know they're in church, and I know they're believers, and I know they have family, and I know they have people around them. You know that people are coming to them now, and they're serving one another. And that's what the body needs. You have to serve one another. Because we have numerous bodies, the church is around, we can serve other people as well. Certainly serve people within our own physical families, but then certainly within the family of God. But by all means, we absolutely ought to be serving within the body and taking care of one another. So as we do so, it's not just serving other members of the body, it's serving the body of Christ. We're serving our Lord Jesus Christ as we serve one another. So I think that's another exhortation that we have. She was able to serve the Lord Jesus Christ himself physically on earth, but we have the opportunity to serve many others on behalf serve Christ on behalf of others. We're going to serve others on behalf of Christ. Yes, in that place of. With that, I think we'll stop and pray.